Baro, 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 baro,
out of Cleveland, Ohio, the Moonglows, with one of their major hits, Sincerely, recorded in 1954. The lead singer is Bobby Lester, along with Harvey Fuqua, nephew of Charlie Fuqua of the Inkspots, Peter Graves, Alexander Pete Graves, and Prentice Barnes. 4 years after this recording, the group disbanded and Fuqua started a new group, Harvey and the Moonglows, that included a young man just starting out in the industry. His name was Marvin Gaye. Fuqua disbanded the group in 1960, and he and Gaye moved to Detroit, where they joined Berry Gordy's Motown Records, Fuqua as a producer and record executive, and Marvin Gaye as a recording artist. The title of the song, of course, is a tongue-in-cheek reference to our topic today, a continuation of yesterday's discussion about the duopoly and the 2016 presidential elections. So a little bit of doo-wop for the duopoly. See how that works? Having a little fun of my own. Are the candidates 16... of them, Republicans and five Democrats, so far. I mean, we may find other people entering into the race in the respective parties. But are they singing your tune is the question that we started answering yesterday with your phone calls at 888-874-4888. Are they sincerely speaking to your interests? That's the question we are pursuing again today. We didn't have time to accommodate the traffic. We had quite a logjam yesterday. So today it's open, and we are ready for your reactions and your thoughts on where things are. What is it that you are gleaning so far? What is this race as it's shaping up and so far as the coverage goes? What is it telling you about where we are and, more importantly, what your options might be come 2016? From New Jersey, Reggie, you're on the air.
I hope this is Reggie from New York and not Reggie from New Jersey.
Oh, Reggie from New York.
I take New Jersey too, Detrita. It's okay with me. I'm just happy and staying that you extended the program today. And I'd like to say to you, I'm continuous in prayer for your full recovery.
Oh, I thank you so much for that. I'll lean heavily on that as I go through my daily challenges. Thank you, but I feel great.
That's wonderful. Okay, when you said our options, you know, in this political 2016 stuff, I just want to touch on a few points here and stuff. You know, after listening intensively to a Freedom Party member on yesterday, I tried to, with all my might, to get on yesterday to complete the message my party member failed to announce, and that is the Freedom Party. Alton H. Madoff gave his all to create this Freedom Party. to have a black-led party, a complete black-led party, to speak to our issues. You would think our people would be supportive. However, in our last New York City mayor election, the Freedom Party candidate received a measly 500 votes, while elected de Blasio, after portraying his son's afro, received 95% of the black vote. Look for Donald Trump to better that by donning dreadlocks in place of his toupee. It's like hogs rushing to the trough to receive their slop. This is exactly how I define voters of both the Democratic and Republican parties. The Freedom Party, a grassroots people's first party, a Democratic party, a grassroots people's first party, need only to get real dedicated people, as to Madoff so eloquent describes. An empty wagon makes a lot of noise.
Let me ask you, Reggie, based on what you have observed so far and what you have expressed so far, what, therefore, do you think is the option that you will exercise come 2016?
Well, you know, somewhere in the end of this conversation, I was going to talk about and stuff like, you know, just my option is the Freedom Party. And we have a lot of disgruntled, a lot of, you know, unaffiliated people out there and standing waiting for someone to come along and give them some hope.
And so, right, why would you say, what is the rationale? What is the explanation, do you think, the validity of what you described as a black-led party? What is the validity of it?
The validity of it is the fact that in this country and stuff, you know, we've never had that. And that's why a lot of people understand disenchanted is because, like, you know, myself, I've always had to vote for the lesser two evils. You know, no one never said anything about understand the South Bronx since 1980 when some of those candidates talked about it then. Since then, understand, you know, all I've heard is Bill Clinton and disrespecting Jesse Jackson and Sister Soldier. And just recently, and so I heard O'Malley apologize for Black Lives Matter. I'm just saying people just like understand are fed up and saying, you know, with nothing to vote for. And so, right, you know, so the black-led party, as I'm saying, will be that option. It's like I'm saying, you know, the people's housing problems, the people's educational problems, the people's employment problems and stuff, this would be the platform. This is what we'll be speaking about when you have the debate and stuff, right? You know, not just about saying, you know, how much more money is saying that the corporate America is going to give me to make sure I win this election and stuff, you know? It's just, you know, if I can get some more dedicated people with me, I'm willing to hit the streets in every house and project, every building in the city and in Jersey and in Connecticut and stuff, right, to ask the people, saying, do you want to go forward? And so, right, I have to try. And say, you know, it's not going to go nowhere. We still got to go through the process. So why not, saying, come with something that sounds like a solution? And so, right, you know, I mean, I can give it to you no better than that.
And I think you did a splendid job of putting it out there. Thank you, Reggie, for your call today. And hopefully we will see how people react to it along the lines of this program today. Thank you so much. From North Carolina, Janice, you're on the air.
Hey, Utrice. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Nice to talk with you.
Same here.
And
thank you.
I'm so glad I got on because I have volunteered for Bernie Sanders' campaign to work on that. And I think he has a lot to offer America. Yesterday, I heard one of the callers say, nobody has spoken about jobs, repairing infrastructure. And actually, one of Bernie's platform, part of his platform, is putting aside $1 trillion to create new infrastructure and create 13 million good-paying jobs for Americans.
All right. Let me ask you, Janice, instead of...
Yes.
I don't want you to go outside the boundaries just yet.
Okay.
We're looking for your personal account rather than...
Oh.
Touting Bernie Sanders' record.
But okay.
What is this race meaning to you? And why were you compelled, if you could personalize the experience of saying, I am casting my fate with Bernie Sanders.
Right.
And we could appreciate the fact that you identify with many of his platforms and so forth.
Right.
But could you talk about the state of affairs that impelled you to move in that direction?
Sure. Well, you know, looking around, I'm old. I'm 65. And I see how much things have changed in the country since I more or less came of age. And I know things have never been great for many people. But for a while, they were pretty good for me. In 20 years ago or so, I finished my bachelor's degree in computer science, and I was able to get a pretty good job and so forth. But you know what? Looking back, I know that if I were in the same situation today, I'd probably be lucky to be getting $9 an hour, at Walmart or someplace. I mean, so many jobs have, I observe how so many jobs have gone away. And I see, since I moved to Asheville, it seems like this area is a kind of maybe a more progressive in how they treat homeless people. I see a lot of homeless people here. And I know not all of them, but many of them are homeless because they can't find a job. They cannot make their living. So that's one reason. Another reason is for the past year, I've been following pretty closely economists, including Paul Craig Roberts, he's been on Gary Noll's show, talk about the true state of the economy and what dire shape we are in and how much higher the unemployment rate really is. The official figure is 5%, and whereas in reality, I don't know, it's 20% or maybe 50% in some communities. And so anyway, I was feeling pretty hopeless about the whole situation, seeing that, you know, there's a lot of talk on TV about, distractions, big distractions. And when Bernie announced his candidacy, I was like overjoyed. Because here's a guy who's talking and has been, not just now, he's been talking for the past, since the early 60s about these kind of issues. There's hope. To me, there's hope. And it's going to be a huge uphill struggle, but looking at numbers and polls and things that I've researched, and there's hope. And so I think it's a source of hope. Whereas before,
now,
I thought
Bernie Sanders identifies himself as a socialist in the manner of a socialist.
Right.
I guess the logical question to ask you, and I don't mean to pry,
right,
so you, let me know if I am.
Okay.
Your choice of Bernie Sanders over, say, Hillary Clinton, could you talk about why you made that choice? What was the difference between Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton in as much as you leaning in the Democratic camp? And that, too, I want to ask you about. Are you comfortable with Bernie Sanders leaning to the Democratic camp, as opposed to running as a socialist?
As an independent. Well, actually, I think he describes himself as a Democrat socialist, which is, I believe, different from a regular socialist. I'm not really up on all the, details and weeds and so forth. But I think his brand of socialism, if you want to call it that, is that it wants to provide for the common good, such as in medical care, health care, accessibility to health insurance, social security, education, things like that. I think that's as far as that brand of socialism goes. So that's not a problem for me at all. Why did I choose him over Hillary? I am just extremely disillusioned with Hillary. I have been for a while. I think she's part more of the problem than she is of the solution. She's getting money from all of the big contributors. She's got a guy from Monsanto running her campaign. That sends up all kinds of, red flares to me. She won't speak out. Oh, this is a big one. She won't speak out against the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is going to, if that, that's past, my understanding is that that's the law now. But it hasn't been implemented. And if it is allowed to be implemented, I think it's just going to kill us. I really do. Oh, so many jobs have left the country. A lot more are going to go. And plus the damage, these companies, if you belong to this partnership, you're allowed to sue, any place in America.
We're getting an echo.
Yeah, I don't know. I got my radio off, but.
missed it. But you know, Janice, thank you so much for your call today. And thank you for allowing us to pry a little
and
bit
thank you,
into
Eucharist.
Your personal choices. Yeah. But that was the point of the program. In so far as you understand the political systems, mm-hmm. where are you navigating and what's your rationale? And you've done a splendid job of letting us into that decision, the decision thank that you have made.
Thank you. And thanks for all you do.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Okay. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
From New York, McAllaplan, I believe is the pronunciation. Am I doing that right?
That almost, Latrice, I would like to say a whole tough to all the brothers in New York. At this time, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Thank you.
I'd just like to piggyback on the first caller, Reggie Peavy.
But could you tell me how to pronounce your name?
McAlpine.
McAlpine. Okay.
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I would just like to say, but with the system that is running now, it's not going to change with Hillary Clinton. She's not going to make a difference. Bernie Sanders is not going to make a difference toward the blacks. So we just need our own party, the Freedom Party.
All right. Tell me about your choice and what drove you to your choice or the choice that you think you are likely to make in 2016.
Well, my choice was basically, it's a party that's going to stand for principles. It stands on own principles. We have to have a platform so we can go and have our own vote counted. And we must use the vote that we have in our hand. If we continue just giving that vote to the pig slop cloth, it's going to continue having, Latrice.
But let me say this. The Republican Party says it is sensitive to the needs of the African American community, and it's got a range of things that it is going to do. The Democrats are saying the same thing, and it has had a long history of getting the black vote at all these different levels, local, statewide, and even on the federal level. So why are you insisting that their appeals are not genuine? Where do you get that?
Well, about the decision they has made in the past, your past will follow you. And their past is that they haven't stayed true to that message. They give you one end of a message, and then when it take place, they forget about it. They go back to the same old routine.
So how would your decision, are you voting then in 2016 in the presidential race, or are you opting out? What are you doing?
Well, everyone must have a vote counted, Latrice. So I will be voting for 16. And I would like to just say, Black Power to New York. Keep up the good fight with the Freedom Party. And stay on course. And Attorney Automatics, reinstate. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your call today. From New York, we have Allie. You're on the air, Allie.
Hi, Eutrice. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay. Blessed to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Always.
Same here, to hear yours.
Yeah. Thank you. I have a few comments that I would like to make. One is there was a gentleman who called yesterday from Florida, I believe, and he was talking about the Green Party, and he mentioned James Lane. I know James Lane's His first name, because he couldn't remember, is James, and his last name is Lane. I know him personally, and he ran here against Donovan. Donovan was the DA, which he's now a congressman. And I just want to mention to the gentleman that James Lane, unfortunately, only got less than 1% of the vote.
That was Ray calling from Florida yesterday.
Yes, I wanted to mention that to him. And from the Green Party, I do agree with you, Utrecht. You were talking about that when they don't run to win. James Lane was the only person that I have seen from the Green Party that actually was running to win. Very enthusiastic. He came to a lot of our rally against Stop Mass Incarceration, and he was very enthusiastic. And the only person from the Green Party that I was running to win. Unfortunately, I spoke with him after the election, and he told me that especially the people in Staten Island, people of color, they're almost like dead. You don't even see them out on the street. And he had a really hard time reaching to the people from Staten Island. That is one thing that I would like to say. The other thing that I would like to say is the lady who called, her name was Pat from Brooklyn.
Yes.
Yesterday, I do agree with her. She mentioned that it's not even worth our time to even go for local election. And the reason that I'm saying that is because here in New York City, most of the people in the city council people, they're people of color, and they just approved the hiring of 1,500 new cops. And you know what we're going through here in the city. Just think about Eric Garner and the rest of the population. So, and a stop and frisk. So that's two things that I would like to say. But my main thing that I wanted to say. And
I love your technique. You're great.
And I just, you keep asking, do we have it? You're asking us if we do have an option. If we do, I would like for you to tell us if you have any idea, because I'm going to tell you right now, our only option is Harry from Berkeley. And why do I say that? Because at least he's talking about the galaxy. He talks about Mother Earth. He talks about solar panel. And that is the only true thing around. If you listen to any of these politicians, and including local politicians, they don't talk to convince us about anything. It's a scheme, and one of the biggest schemers was Mr. Obama. He actually fooled, not you, Trees, but he fooled a lot of us, the majority of us. But he didn't fool me the second time. With his swagger, this man convinced so many of us that there will be a change. A change. Yes. What change have we seen? As a matter of fact, as soon as he said that he was not a president for African American, he said it all for me. And then he goes out to Kenya, and then he goes out to all these places. The man has a mask in front. He has a mask on his face. He talks. He lies. And one of the biggest things that happened to him that I always remember was when he was in the White House having a beer with a man that he had called stupid. It's like he had to swallow his own saliva. And to me, that is a person who has no character, he has no conviction, and he just showed me everything. But like I said,
anymore. We're looking ahead. Could you give us, from your perspective, as you observe the political arena and what is being presented to the population as the critical issues of the day that these candidates, whether of what the Republican and the Democratic parties are supposedly wrestling with and they have answers for, what do you notice about this whole election process, and what is likely to be your decision in 2016?
The same as the rest of the population that are calling you for the most part, except for the gentleman who called previously talking about the Freedom Party, which I voted before But like it, I said, what did these people are presenting us with? They talk, listen to when he made the phone call. He was talking about, not the issue, he was talking about Donald Trump's wig. So that's one thing. Then they're just talking about Donald Trump, what he said about the Mexican. So what issues are these people presenting? One of the issues that is very, I'm very, very concerned, is the militarization of the police department all around this nation. The money that we are spending around the world to keep this country as the number one around the world. So those are issues. Also, issues of color, Black Lives Matter, mass incarceration. Why? Because mass incarceration, as you know, is us, brown and black people. Oh, those are issues. And what happened with the mass incarceration? Why people, they just put people in jail for minor offenses, where the Caucasian, they don't put in jail. And another thing is, a lot of us, we don't have jobs. There is no jobs available. Like I said, we just wasted right now. So these people, not even Bernie Sanders is talking about issue. Bernie Sanders, the first thing that he said was that, oh, I'm just going to, if I don't win. He's not out there to win. People are dreaming. Like I said, Harvey is the only one that at least talks about certain things that are probably going to affect us. These people, they do the same thing. It's a revolving door, lying to us all the time. And when they get to the promised land, what do? They just oppress us.
So there's come nothing 2016, are you voting or not voting?
It's like that lady said. I at one time I put Arts and Matters name in one of those ballots, because you know now we fill out those ballots. But what I'm afraid of, when you put those name like that, they probably cross out the name and they put whoever they want them to be the front runner. That's what I'm even afraid. So I don't even know because that's what I have been doing. I have been going there voting for people that I had never heard of, just because I don't want to vote for any of those two parties. But then again, I don't know if they're going to pull my ballot and then give it to somebody else, like they do in those computerized systems now. So right now, to me, I don't think it's even worth it to stand there and even go and vote. And I do have to say this last. When I go to those places to vote now, I notice that people are not voting. It's unbelievable. You don't even have to go online. And as a matter of fact, I even see people leaving because they leave a ballot there loose. I saw the last time that I went, two ballots right there loose that the people, they didn't even bother to vote because it's so complicated. And the Freedom Party, when they were on the ballot, you could not even find them. So it's just a waste. It's not even worth it anymore. So
all
of us will be in the same path.
Thank you so much, Ali, for your analysis and your opinions today. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you very much.
Los Angeles, DX, good to hear from you. You're on the air. Hello, DX, you there? Well, we're not hearing you. Is DX available? DX, Earth to DX, are you there? Okay. All right. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. And we continuing the discussion that we began yesterday, the duopoly doo-wop. Are they singing your tune? We'll take this break, come back, and continue the discussion right after this.
Put as many as they have. If they have five different stock towers,
please say you'll be mine.
it's a parody, too, of the relationship voters have to the political process, where one party, whether it be Democrat or Republican, professes all the sincerity as a way of wooing the electorate into their respective camps. And of course, it's a courtship, but it's hardly sincere. The only thing sincere about it is that they want in. They want in, and they want in very, very badly. So, you can't help but notice that in the frenzy of this political, contest, all of a sudden, all these things that these folks had not been able to do or couldn't do, they are now professing that that's exactly what they will do. They've had years and years and years to do exactly the things that they're promising, but they come to the electorate now, and it's a big parade of a mass parade of insincerity. That's what I think. 888-874-4888. We are having a little phone trouble at the moment, I'm told, but we're back. Los Angeles, DX, you're on the air.
Hello, you three.
Hello.
Good morning from California. How are you?
Yes, fine, thank you. Good to hear from you. What
good
is your assessment of
the
political
fold.
Season, and what are you likely to do come 2016?
Can I tell you something first? I have been traveling and dealing with some serious family business, and I didn't know about your diagnosis, and I want to wish you the best.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you very much.
I only found out about that last week when you were talking about it, but, you know, you're a strong sister, and you're going to be okay, and plus you got Lou Anne Panessi and you got Gary Null, so...
Yeah.
You're going to be okay.
I have great cosmic messages from everybody, so I'm doing well with that. So let's hear what you're thinking.
I'll say hi to all my progressive brothers and sisters out there as well, and also I know you have a lot of new listeners, young people, and I really like to hear them call in, and they probably haven't heard me call before, but I used to call all the time. As far as the elections, I'm going to say what I usually say all the time when I call in, and that is, nationally, your vote doesn't mean anything. Even in statewide elections and in major cities such as Los Angeles or New York, the establishment is way too established, and there's no way to break through that at this point because we've been letting this happen. We I'm going to take some of the blame of it. We've been getting our butts kicked for 40 years, and they've been rigging the system. So, but I do believe that if you live in a small-sized city or a town, you can have some effect. We've seen that in Seattle. We've seen that in a few other places like Richmond, California. So I do believe in local elections you can, unless it's a major city, like Chicago or something. For me, in 2016, if there was a viable third party to vote for, I would consider it. I know the lady called a little bit earlier about Bernie Sanders. It does trouble me a little bit that he's running as a Democrat, but what troubles me more about him, I mean, he's great on the economy. He's great on a few other issues as far as social equality and things like that and gay rights and all that. But it troubles me that he voted with the Democrats on a lot of things like these wars that Obama's been trying, been doing. So he professes to be a social Democrat, which I guess he is, but he votes along with the Democrats. And that's something on a lot of horrible issues. Also, you've mentioned this before, Utrice. These third parties, like the Green Party and all these people like this, the Socialist Party, they don't connect with the minority, the black community. I won't use the word minority. The black community, the Hispanic community. They don't come in and say, you know, here's what we're going to do for you. You've made this point over and over, Utrice, and you're absolutely right. They do not do that. Recently at a Black Lives Matter meeting, Bernie Sanders, I mean, he didn't even know what to say when they asked him some key questions. And so there are things that bother me about him. I like the man, most of his policies, but there are things that bother me about him. So for me, I don't think it does any dang good anyway to vote in a federal election, because they're going to get in there who they want, because who's controlling it? The Democrats and the Republicans. They control the debate. They control the voting apparatus. They control the counting of the votes. I mean, so what? How do we have a chance?
So that's my likely to do next year?
Well, I won't be voting in the federal election. I could do a write-in like Allie said, but hey, like she said, they might switch that and cross out the name. So I won't be voting in the federal election. You know,
how many people in your circle do you think feel the same way as you do about the process?
I think people are beginning to start to feel that way. I think people are beginning to feel very much like we have no options out there, because you can just look at what's going on. I mean, I talk about these issues with my friends and people I hang out with, and they just don't understand, you know, why, for one thing, the black community and the Hispanic community are under attack like we are, and why no one's doing anything about it. And it's because the leadership is corrupt. As the Black Agenda report, what's the host of that show?
Blanking on the name, I can see.
Glenn Ford. He coined the term black misleadership class, and that's exactly what we have. We have a misleadership class in general in this country, and I think people are really, really like, now they're just they don't feel there's any hope. I mean, everybody, like one caller said, we fell for Obama's stuff. He ended up, you know, just doing the same thing as all the ones before him. So now people just feel like there's no hope, I guess. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
But well, you're saying it quite loudly that you're feeling a sense of hopelessness. However, is that enough? Once that, you know, you've analyzed the situation and you see that the system is hopeless with respect to your needs and your desires and the things that are relevant and important to you, what then falls in your arena as a way to construct something different? What is it that you think you will have to do or will want to do?
I think it's not just me. I think it's we.
Yeah, but let's talk about you.
Okay, but I've heard a couple of callers
I'm
say...
I'm trying to just get... I understand your point. I take that. It's a we thing.
I'm going to make my last point here. I heard a couple of callers say that we all should vote and everybody deserves their vote to be counted. But when you do vote in this system, you're given tacit approval of the system. So what we need is a mass consciousness and for people on a mass scale to boycott the vote, and that's what I'll be doing. I'll be boycotting it. How do we get to that point? Your guess is as good as mine, or, you know, I mean, we have to work together. We have to, you know, keep getting the word out. We have to get people to understand what we're dealing with here. I mean, as you were putting it last week, you have to know that we have a system, and you have to know just what your condition is when you're dealing with the system. So I say that we have to boycott this system. And I've said that many times when I've called. Boycott their stores, boycott their phony elections. I mean, boycott all of it. But, you know, it can't be done by a small group of people or just myself. I mean, it has to be a mass movement.
The reason I asked about yourself was I just wanted to get a sense of how you personalized your political consciousness. You know,
right.
I just wanted to get that personal look into how you were thinking.
I could sum it up in two words, Eutrice. I'm done.
You're done. Okay. Stick you with a fork. You're done. Thank you, DX,
right.
for your call. And good to hear from you after such a while.
Great to talk to you.
And
you have a great
thank you.
Evening.
We go to Brooklyn next. David, you're on the air.
Yes, Teresa, I want to tell you what it is. A pleasure to talk to you. You'll probably be getting a copy of my new book. I'm finishing up a book. It's called Playing the Game. You'll be getting a copy. But what I want to say is this. People have to, that's all people, all the people in the 99%, they have to understand that Republicans and Democrats are a part of a capitalist party, a one-party system with two divisions. And they don't represent the interests of the people who live here. They represent the interests of the oligarchy and the corporations that run the country. So there's no future in the masses of people staying in the Republican and Democrat Party. That's no matter what your phenotype is, or whether it's African type phenotype or European, or what it is. These parties are not representing your interests. And people have to understand that. And most don't. You'll find people aligning themselves with the oligarchs that run the Republicans and Democrat Party. I mean, it's ridiculous. So, first of all, we have to get to the realization that we have to abandon those parties and do something for ourselves. Maybe start our own parties. Understand the nature of capitalism, which is to make profit for those people who run the corporations and are the oligarchs at the commanding heights. And most people don't understand that. And there's no future in voting Republican and Democrat. I wouldn't vote anything that said Republican and Democrat. So the point is that we got to do a lot of education of people. I mean, we're in a bad situation living in a system of capitalism, imperialism, the richest capitalist country in the world, where half the people are poor or near poor. There's something wrong with that. How come people don't get it? How come people are so easily diverted by white supremacy, racism, and sports, and all the things that mislead people and get them away from the real issue that that 0.1%, that 1 out of 1,000 person that really runs the country, the oligarch group, they're diverting your attention away from the real issues. It's something like a bullfight. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen bullfights. I've seen them. And the thing that is done to the bull is to get his attention away from that matador that sticks that knife into his back and goes down into his heart. And that's what's happening with the people that live in this country. The point is, this does not work. It's not a country that's set up for the benefit of the people. It's set up for the benefit, you know, like a little Basio hiring 1,500 more police, and most of the people in the city council in New York are people of color, and they're going along with this. And when you look at New York City, I looked it up on the computer recently, it's $168,000 to keep one person in Rikers Island for a year. And I looked up the state, and for the juvenile division, it's $250,000. Well, why is it that we couldn't use some of that money for jobs and youth employment in summer and employment for adults and positive social things, rather than having a school-to-prison pipeline and wasting money on arresting people and sending them to Rikers Island for $168,000 a year, or the state prison for $250,000 in the youth division. You know, we're in a bad shape. We got to wake up.
Well, David, you've outlined your thinking very well, and I have to ask you the question. With this understanding that you have of the system, How have you practiced your politics in the recent years, and how are you likely to practice it in 2016?
I'll tell you how I practice it. First of all, I didn't go for the Obama okie doke. I never voted for Obama. I wouldn't vote for a jive turkey. And I recognize him as a jive turkey from the start. So the point is that I met many people who were more impressed with his phenotype rather than what he said. And when he talked about hope and change, that's just rhetoric. But I met so many people before who, if I raised issues about how somebody to run for president, you have to be vetted by the ruling class before they let you run. Or they can kill you in the press, the newspaper, the television, and whatnot. How did he get to run if he wasn't down with the finance people, the insurance people, the real estate people? So he can tell the masses anything. He can say, oh, yeah, hope and change and whatnot. That's meaningless. You got to be down with those who rule, with the capitalist class, with the ruling class that runs the place, before you get to the point of getting on a Republican or Democrat ballot. So, most people don't understand that.
From the candidates who have declared so far, 16 Republicans, 5 Democrats, is any of them an exception to your categorization?
As far as I'm concerned, none of them are exceptions. We would have to have some candidates from some different party, not any capitalist imperialist party that is for the things that the Republicans and Democrats represent. And people have to get to that point where they understand that. I'm sorry for little people, that's the masses, who are taken in by these jive turkey candidates and hooping and hollering for these people, and they have no understanding of how this political system works that we live in, where the oligarchs run the thing, and this is a capitalist society, and it's made for capitalist profit, and we have a situation, as I said, where most people are poor or near poor, and that is not good.
Well, thank you very much for your very, very clearly delineated opinion today. Thank you so much, David, for your instruction.
And thank you so much for being there. I love your program every day, and I make it my point to always listen to it.
Thank you so much for contributing to it. From New York, Patricia, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. It's always wonderful to hear your lovely voice.
Oh, thank you so much. Great to hear yours, too.
Yeah. Well, Utrice, like DX, I'm done. I am done. You know what that done, that inflection in your voice means?
You're done.
That West Indian, I'm done. You know, Utrice, I have evolved in terms of my understanding about what it means to vote in this country. I mean, I'm 66 years old. I have never missed a local election, a state election, a federal election in my life. But you want to know what? I'm going to miss the next one. And I'm going to tell you why. Something as simple as food, the food you put in your body, and we understand the importance of food for nutrition, for boosting your immune system, for keeping you healthy. Nobody can disagree that the quality of food is extremely important. So when a vote came up last week about a bill for should states be allowed to label genetically modified foods, Democrats and Republicans said, it's okay, don't allow them to label what you put in your body to keep you healthy. So the point I'm making is there is absolutely no difference between Democrats, between Republicans. Of all the candidates that are running, You know, people are talking about Bernie Sanders as an alternative to Hillary Clinton. And ordinarily, I would say, I'll go for Bernie, if for no other reason to just stick it to Hillary. Because I want to stick it to her. So if that was my strategy, I would go for Bernie.
First you're done, and now you want to stick it to Hillary.
Yeah, I do. I'm very clear about that. I want to stick it to her. I mean, I want her to know I'm sticking it to her. But the point I'm making is, when Cuomo came up for election last year, he was opposed by a candidate, a woman, a law professor from Fordham University, and her name was Zephyr Teachout. And she actually got 36% of the vote, much to Cuomo's chagrin. But you want to know something? Zephyr Teachout never went into the African-American, to the black and brown communities. And if she had, even if she was disingenuous, if she had, she would have beat Cuomo. The point is, not only she didn't go there, of course, she's not comfortable with black folks. She's not comfortable with black and brown folks. That's the problem with Bernie, which is why last week at the, the Root Nation,
the
Black
the
Lives Matter conference last week in Arizona, he had nothing to say, because black and brown people are not anywhere on their agenda. And if I'm not on your agenda, then what's the purpose of me giving you my vote? Unless, of course, I just want to stick it to Hillary. So for the first time in my life, I'm going to sit this one out.
Are you comfortable with that decision?
I am extremely comfortable with that. I'm very comfortable with that.
How many people do you think in your circle feel the way you do?
Okay, now you're talking about in my circle. In my circle, people are my immediate friends are very comfortable with that. But as my son would say, Ma, you're special. My son calls me special. He says, Ma, you're the only person who thinks like you. Or you have those friends of yours who think like you. In other words, what he's communicating to me is that my circle is very small and narrow. That's what he's saying to me. I understand that. And unfortunately, I have to acknowledge that my circle is small and narrow. So most people are looking to people like Sharpton, who I understand is heading a business delegation to Cuba in October. Which is, so unfortunate that he would infect himself. Not inflict, inflict and infect himself, but again, that's the role he plays. But, he always talks about Michael Jackson's song. And there's one Michael Jackson song about talking loud and saying nothing.
Well, actually, it's James Brown.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I meant. I meant James Brown. I'm sorry, James. Talking loud and saying nothing. And unfortunately, our folks, our people are so starved for anybody who would just come forward and address their issues, because there's nobody. We're on our own. We really are on our own. And so people will gravitate to him because there's nobody else. There's just nobody else. And so I understand that also. And so it's very difficult to talk to people outside of my circle about people like him and the real issues. I always say to people, when in history have you ever known anyone who seriously fights white supremacy who has access to the airwaves 7 days a week? That should tell you who that person is. Because as Alton always says, white people speak two languages, military science and legalese. And what do we know about military science? What is the first thing they do? They disconnect communication. So if you are able to get on the airwaves 7 days a week, which is why he looks the way he does, that should tell you that he is not fighting white supremacy. And if he's not fighting white supremacy, he's not fighting for you. So I'm very comfortable about sitting out next year.
All right, so we have two things. One, you're done.
I'm done.
And you're going to stick it to Hillary.
And I'm sticking it to Hillary.
And the third thing I might add, you're sitting it out next year.
I'm sitting it out.
Thank you, Patricia, for your call.
Thank you. Keep well.
Thank you. And that brings us to the end of our program today. Rather strong opinions, but really well thought out. And, of course, we have Friday, Free Your Mind Friday, to continue, if you wish, those of you who didn't get on today. Tomorrow we go to Haiti, where the Clintons are now expanding the family business. Stay tuned. Coming up next, the NDC Savings Club. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. I love to hear from you. And thank you so much for your good, wonderful, positive messages. I really am thriving on them. And I thank you, as always, for the pleasure and the great privilege of your esteemed company. And thank you so much for sharing your thoughts today. See you tomorrow.